Great start for the Marlins. Who are those guys, man? Nice comeback. Late innings yesterday, down 4-2, come back and win it. Kyle Stower, power, man, great stuff down the line. Gets himself a walk-off in the ninth. How about that, man? Sandy Alcantara, good to see him back and healthy and throwing heat again. And so anyway, get a nice win there. And the Heat get their third straight win all of a sudden. Remember, Spo was saying, man, we've had some chances and we've been there. And all of a sudden, you got two impressive wins back-to-back with the way they're shooting the ball right now. Last night, again, for a second game in a row, three-point shooting, 18 to 33 last night, 17 to 25 against Golden State. That's a high percentage of shooting. Got it from a lot of guys last night. Tyler Hero had 36. One of his most efficient shooting, 13 of 17. Mm. And seven players in double figures. And of the seven players in double figures, how about this one? Two guys that did not play, Jaime Jaquez and Terry Rozier. You are officially, we like you guys, nothing personal, but you guys aren't playing right now. It's incredible. I thought, Terry Rozier, I'm not surprised, but the one that gets me, Jaime Jaquez. And he had such a good rookie year. Yeah. He did. He played great. They're talking about his.
You're expecting him to take that next step like most Heat players do.
That's right.
And it just hasn't happened. I think there's other things going on with it. Maybe the streets got him right now. You know.
He didn't look like that. He didn't look like.
The streets get everybody around.
I don't know, man. I'll tell you who they didn't get. They didn't get Cam Ward. Cam Ward came in here, and everybody was worried about the $1.5 million he got.
Worth every dime. Clearly got the new quarterback. Listen.
Well, hopefully he learns, because he's already been in the news for things that we, honestly, in today's world, like a breakup with a famous girlfriend.
It happens.
And two breakups cars.
Happen. Breakups happen, Joe.
Why, by the way, why do we have to know all that stuff? Why do people put all that stuff out there?
They're social media.
That's true.
They're not even famous for basketball, bro.
No, I get it. You're right. They make millions of dollars off. I'm sorry. That was a dumb. People screaming at me right now. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. That's one of those kids who just blasted me. And you're right.
It's today's age, man. Everybody needs to be famous, man. Everybody's social media has got to make them famous. Got to make them millions. Like, yeah. You got to hustle, bro.
I got to tell you, the toughest job right now, and Dan Radakovich is going to join us, University of Miami athletic director, coming up here in a few minutes. Social media kills those young guys. Kills those young guys. They hear stuff. They read. Those guys don't block stuff out like some of the NFL guys.
They never blocked it out. The NFL guys never blocked that out.
You don't think some of the older guys don't pay attention to it?
Oh, hell no. Lewis Oliver, Brian Cox.
They didn't catch that much, did they?
Oh yeah, they wanted to fight. They wanted to fight. Everybody always tells you, "Oh, I don't read." They all read. They all know what's being said. They go after you.
Yeah. When they get fired up, you got guys coming back from rehab and screaming at you. How's it look now, Omar? What do you have to say?
I was like, "Who's coming back from rehab?" Oh, Jalen Phillips. Yeah.
Listen,
I love Jalen.
Well, you have to say you love. I know.
I love Jalen. I love Jalen.
A good guy,
and I'm proud of him that he made it back. Didn't last long, but he made it back.
See, that was a shot, right?
He made it back. These guys, they got, and that's the thing, Joe. They always search for motivation some way, somehow. So you know, if I gotta motivate you, I do my thing. You seem to be the only target in the media, guys. I won't even get to why, but.
Don't take shots at the other guys. That's what you were going to do. Don't take shots and you stir it up again.
Listen, that's not what I'm doing. What I will say is, you know, they all look for motivation. If you need me to be your motivation, I will be your motive. Jordan Phillips, if I calling you a lazy slob.
I was there that day.
Motivate you.
You're lucky that because I was there that day. And he
wanted to put hands on me.
Yeah, I'm not there every day, but I saw that. I saw the big fella, one of the biggest human beings we had.
He had an amazing practice that day. Everybody, every coach congratulated me for that practice.
The hardest guy in the league. He'll literally get cut, and then I'll watch him as he gets picked back up by Buffalo
Bills,
and plays like plays like a second round.
And he says, "I'm not going anywhere because this is clearly the only place that tolerates my bull and lets me be me."
He'll take centers and lift them up and throw them in the backfield, and then you'll see other teams get rid of him because they said
he's lazy. But he's played God knows how many years now. He's like done double digits.
But I will tell you, that was a knock on him coming out of college.
It was.
Place. By the way, like it was a defensive tackle we had from Alabama said the same things about him recently.
Who, Raekwon?
Raekwon, same knock.
I disagree with you on
Raekwon
that.
Raekwon took time off.
Raekwon worked. Raekwon, I respected Raekwon because Raekwon redefined his body. He looks more like a basketball player than he looks like a football player
He's
now.
A big man.
He's a huge man.
The biggest man on the team, usually.
And I think he can come back here and still help this team. I know he's got some medical
stuff.
See,
that's where you got favorites. That's where you go back into this Omar's favorites right there.
He's not one of my favorites. He probably is mad. He's a little mad at me now, too, by the way.
All right.
Well,
you always get that list, man. Everybody's got.
People don't like to hear the truth about themselves.
Well, it's your truth. They're going to say it's your truth.
That's right.
We got to go to break, man. Dan Radakovich, athletic director for the University of Miami, is going to join us coming up here. All right, let's get it rolling, man. Always nice to check in down in Coral Gables with the athletic director. Dan Radakovich joins us here on a Friday. How you doing, Dan the man?
I'm doing great, Joe. Boy, it was kind of interesting. Saw you and Dan Marino yesterday over at Lone Depot. The Marlins came back and took care of my hometown Pirates.
his hometown, too. Game. By the way, speaking of Dan, his hometown, too. Yeah, it was funny.
For sure.
He was over in the Marlins dugout a little bit, and he's good friends with Jeff Conine. But then you could see him, and the Pirate guys wanted to kind of talk to him and the manager. And so he's over there, you know, it was like, he goes, damn, Joe, I used to go to that ballpark every day, you know, and hang out in the old ballpark they had before. So I'm with you. Hey, Dan, we got a lot of stuff to get to. First of all, man, I got to tell you, I was so impressed with Jay Lucas. For this crazy world of the NIL and transfer portal, I don't know what he's doing, but I feel good about it. This guy is made his age. He knows how the game is played. He's coming from a program and programs that know how this game is played. I think he's a perfect guy. How do you feel about the hire?
Well, I concur 100%. I think that he's the right person at the right time, especially here at the University of Miami. You know, one of the things we started as we started the search for Jim Larrañaga's successor, I really wanted to find somebody who had really grown up in basketball. Now, there's a lot of coaches that have grown up in basketball, but it's different when your family has the history that Jay's has. You know, with his dad, John Lucas, being a great player, a great coach, still continues to do a lot of scouting across the world, has a great camp in Texas. And Jay's journey from McDonald's All-American in Florida and then Texas and working at Texas for a number of years under both Rick Barnes and Shaka Smart, and then moving on with Coach Calipari at Kentucky, and then being one of the first non-Duke people ever to be hired on their coaching staff when John Shire got the head coaching job, shows a lot about what a really incredible program thought about his basketball knowledge and background. So when we started the search and Jay expressed interest, it was a great courtship, and we were really glad to make sure to get him here. And you're right, he's been nonstop since he got here on March the 10th.
Now, Dan, I am so fascinated and curious about NIL culture and how it's changing all of college sports landscape, even the personalities of the young people. As an athletic director, obviously, it's impacted you in some of the hirings that you make, and you probably have to network a little bit more because the funds need to be raised. But how much do you think that it's changing, and will it continue to change? And is this change healthy?
Well, it is changing, Omar, that's for sure. I will tell you, you could look no further than the Sweet 16 that started last night. There were no Cinderellas. Cinderella didn't make the ball. I am wondering whether or not that's going to be what we see moving into the future. You know, 2 years ago, we had San Diego State, we had Florida Atlantic, we had Miami, and then we had UConn. UConn, you could throw into the blue blood, you know, world because they've won a number of national championships since the turn of the century. The other three solid programs, some power, us being a Power Five, but the other two being Group of Five as it relates to the football groupings. I'm not sure we're going to see that moving forward. I think that the concentration of resources within the Power Four conferences is probably going to make those types of runs that we've become so accustomed to in basketball, for sure, may make them even more rare.
Dan, I thought it was a home run for Pro Day on Monday. Sat there on NFL Network all day, and you guys had it. What a great day for free advertisement, not only with Cam Ward's workout, but all the guys, and got to see everybody that was there from the NFL. You had to feel pretty good about that. And I think it's great for recruiting. It's great for the school. You ever put a price tag on what that value is when you get something like that long with everybody covering Cam Ward and everybody else's workout?
Well, certainly. And I will tell you, it was a tremendous day at the Carroll Soffer Indoor Practice Facility this past Monday. All 32 teams, over 80 NFL scouts and personnel. It was great to see Cam and all of his teammates return to campus. But as far as the valuation of that, yeah, there are metrics that you can put on that. But really, it's besides that. It's really the interpersonal things that happen with the people who are on the field. As you know, people seeing folks they hadn't seen in a long time, are players who aren't eligible for the NFL draft, being there, seeing how our senior players and draft eligible players were conducting themselves in this really stressful moment for them, in whether it's running 40s, three cone drills, vertical leaps, all those kinds of things. And certainly for Cam and some of the receivers, you know, throwing and catching passes. It was great to see our young players seeing that, because that's what pro days are supposed to be like at Miami. High number of people, high number of draft picks. That's what the University of Miami is used to. And that's where, you know, Mario and his staff have been able to now, beginning year four, moving forward with a lot more attention being placed on the program. And that's really what we desire. And I don't know that you could put a value on that attention. But
that's
a good
point.
It's been really, really, really positive.
I would like to congratulate you, Dan, and the staff there at the University of Miami. I used to cover the Hurricanes for 7 years during the great heyday. And covering the NFL, the number one complaint I always had about the University of Miami Pro Day is they always put it right at the start of free agency, which prevented teams from having their executives and their coaches there. And thank God it was moved, not just to where it was moved this year, I think it's moved recently, but you also have it so close to the owners' meeting, it encourages people to come down and spend a little extra time in South Florida. And maybe they go out and they take the players out to lunch and spend a couple of days and get to know them. Those things are important in the NFL circle. What about the bond and mentorship that you're seeing happen from the young players like the Cam Wards that moves to the next generation of Hurricanes? Are you seeing that?
Oh, for sure. We have a lot of our players who, you know, continue to come back. You know, we've started spring practice, and, you know, every day you go out and just catch a few segments of spring practice, you'll see somebody who had been here over the last year or two come back and be around our current student athletes. So, you know, that's never been an issue here in South Florida. No matter where the players are, they like to come back to sunny South Florida. David Njoku has been here for a while. The entire Cleveland front office marched through our hallways the other day, led by owner Jimmy Haslam. Kevin Stefanski, his coaching staff, they all were all here to have some conversations with Cam because obviously they have the second pick in the draft. So, it's great to see people come here, interact, not only our former players, as you said, but other people outside of just that pro day coming for a second look.
Hey, Dan, Spring, what do we got set up? People ask me always about spring game. I know it's right around the corner. How are you treating the spring game? Private, open, family? What are you guys going to do?
Well, our spring game is going to be Saturday, April the 12th. Gates are going to open at 1:30. We're going to have a fan fest on Green Tree featuring activities for the kids and the whole family. We'll have some autographs from our players starting at 2 o'clock, and the spring game will kick at 3:30. Our Hurricane Club members will have an opportunity to claim tickets on Tuesday, beginning Tuesday, April 1st, and then tickets, whatever then left available, will go to the general public on Thursday the 3rd. And, you know, it's going to be a fun day. That's the main point of this. Interestingly, yesterday, there was a football oversight committee call, and they talked about Colorado and Syracuse having a scrimmage against one another. Heck of an idea, something that's been talked about for more than a dozen years around college football. It was denied because it was just a one-off, but I really think the momentum is there to be able to, in the future, to allow, whether it's a full-blown scrimmage, a controlled scrimmage, something along those lines where you could see two teams coming together and having something in the spring.
But
look, our world's changed dramatically in a lot of different ways, and it's about time we look at this as a change opportunity as well.
But that's a lot more finances, number one. Number two, to really justify it, don't you have to do what the NFL does before a preseason game, have a few practices maybe against each other to really justify the cost of something like that, or no?
You could. It depends on how far away. You know, if it was within a bus ride, probably not for a lot of schools. But if it was a trip, I think that's what Syracuse and Colorado were going to do, is have a couple of practices on Thursday, Friday with a game on Saturday. But a lot of different ways to do it. But I think it was just really good to see the momentum of this kind of a new thinking out there. And hopefully it's going to get a lot of momentum into the near future.
Dan, we have that side, and then we have the other side of people not even having the spring game because they're worried about everybody stealing everybody else's players, so they're not going to have it anymore and not going to have a spring game at the end. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, everybody likes a different flavor ice cream.
Yeah,
Joe,
that's right.
And, you know, I think it's really where your program is at a certain stage. And, you know, I think we're going to have our spring game. But it's interesting, you know, Carson Beck obviously is not yet ready to throw. So Emery and Judd and Luke, I mean, they're getting most of the quarterback snaps. So it'd be good to see them face some live competition. But spring games have kind of moved a little lower on the totem pole just because you probably don't have the right number of players to be able to get it done correctly.
Dan, I want to ask you about the NIL and the transfer portal and the poaching law. I've always been an advocate for playoffs and
can't
players.
Stop poaching. Yeah. On behalf of the NCAA, there's no way to stop it. Is there, Dan? There's no way to stop somebody from making a call. You guys have been accused of it. I'm sure everybody's laughing about it because everybody's getting a hold of everybody. Do you agree with that before I let Omar finish?
Yeah, I do, because there's too many people who are within the rules have the ability to talk about certain players, whether it's high school coaches, agents. You know, there's just too many people around. I mean, I don't know that anybody would be brazen enough to have a coach talk to a player who's not in the portal yet, because there's so many other ways to convey messages. It's hard to stop.
Now, how do you think that we can get this? Because it's Wild Wild West right now. What's the theory? I know you're not the only athletic director. What's the thought process on trying to get this regulated or trying to create some sort of baseline so everybody's on the same playing field?
Well, I think that's a great concept, Omar. I really do. First step would probably to get some type of a law passed through Congress where we have some parameters where not every state would be able to have their individual laws, and Nebraska is just about ready to do a different law than Illinois has, that Arkansas has, that Alabama has. You know, so we need to get all of the rules under one umbrella with some teeth in it, not just from an NCAA perspective, because they have not been successful in court trying to justify their rules. So it really needs to be something from Congress, which will give a limited antitrust exemption for the NCAA as it relates to intercollegiate athletics. You know, that being said, I think at that point in time, the Power Four conferences, and they have been doing this, are moving forward with rules that will come out of the House settlement. The House settlement is going to go in front of Judge Wilkins in San Francisco on April the 7th. We anticipate that it would be approved. She's given every signal that that would be the case, but it may not be approved. She'll hear arguments on the 7th, probably rule a couple of weeks down the road. So at that point in time, everything that was pulled together in that House settlement, from the $20 million of revenue share money that can be given to student athletes, to the clearinghouse for NIL opportunities beyond that for student athletes that'll be run by Deloitte Consulting. Those are all things that we're going to have to put into play to try to level the playing field and see how those things work before we can get to the next level.
Dan, I got to ask you about the other part of the sports program, baseball. We got spoiled for a long time, like football, that it was on top of the world, and once again, kind of got off to a good start, but has played some tough ones here. What's your thoughts on baseball, the baseball program going forward with a tough schedule?
Well, Joe, I appreciate that. I mean, it's been a difficult stretch for our baseball program over the last few weeks. I mean, we've played an incredibly difficult schedule. Florida, Florida State, North Carolina, Wake Forest, or North Carolina coming up, Wake Forest. I mean, these are teams that are, you know, top 15, top 10 teams, and it's been a tough stretch for us right now. But we're only halfway through the season. I think we still have some time to turn things around. But we monitor this. It's kind of funny. People, in whatever medium they have to express opinions, think that we just don't watch baseball. But we watch baseball a lot, okay? And we watch it very, very closely. But, you know, there's not going to be an evaluation of the program until the conclusion of the season. We have to give JD and his staff, you know, the ability to finish this year out. We'll sit down and see where we're moving forward. But, you know, there's nobody that understands and respects the winning tradition of Miami baseball more than JD. Heck, he's been with it for the last 25 right. years. So, you know, I think that it's not going good right now. We know that. But we're about halfway home, and we'll see how we finish it out, and we'll make any decisions at that point in time.
Hey, Dan, we got our money's worth out of you today. This has been some good stuff, man. You know what? We need this. That's good stuff today. By the way, Brian Baldinger spent the day at practice, said it was unbelievable watching Mario practice. He was blown away, loved what Mario was doing. Just couldn't talk. You know, he's a big guy. He likes all the big guys and stuff, and was raving about the big bodies, especially on that offensive line. So it was all good stuff coming out of there. Dan, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, Joe. Thanks so much, and call anytime.
Okay. I do. Thank you.
Thanks, bud.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Dan Radakovich, athletic director for the University of Miami, joining us this morning. We go right from that. We got to go to break here. We'll get into a lot more stuff. Omar Kelly with us today, All Day Dan Day. Boy, I'll tell you what, this guy, when they nicknamed him All Day Dan Day, he's a machine, Omar, guy.
Energizer Bunny.
And by the way, when the big boss is at the beach and hanging out on the, you know, with his girlfriend, and he calls all day, I'm not coming in, you got to go in and do it. So he's ready to go. Happy Friday morning. I like coming in, even if I might have had a few drinks last night and like to see a couple of wins. Nice comeback win for the Marlins yesterday. Walk off in the ninth. Boy, what a start for Kyle Stowers. How good was that? Be able to get that. You know, a lot of guys go through a full year and never get a walk-off hit, and he gets it in the first game. And then on top of that, the Heat get their third straight win after losing 10 in a row, starting to play a lot better.
Yep.
I think he's kind of figured out who he, now guys can get hurt, but they've been getting some guys back.
That's
and
right.
Guys that he doesn't want to play.
I mean, you don't have to play them now that Wiggins and
right.
Ware are back, which helps.
Well, those guys, he's made some, listen, Spo didn't get stupid all of a sudden and become a bad coach. And look, it's a bad look for him. You lose 10 in a row and things happen and he throws it on himself like most coaches do. You know, I got to do a better job. And this guy was tired. I played him too long. And I mean, and he's switching that rotation and who's starting and who's
yep.
coming off the bench. And it's just like finally he's just looked at this. They got, what, 9 games left now? And he just says to himself, if everybody's back, a couple guys just aren't going to play unless it's just an emergency.
It's a sprint to the finish, Joe.
And they're trying to get some mo going. They're probably going to be a play-in team.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get a home game, though. That'd be nice.
A play-in home game?
Yeah, play-in home game.
Well, that's about all you're looking for because you're going to be a 7 or 8 seed if you do, and you know who you got to play. It's Cleveland or Boston.
I'm not scared. I'm scared of Cleveland. Boston, a little scared. Got to be a little scared.
Well, look, you're going to have to play a lot better than you are against those teams to have a chance to win a couple of games in the playoffs. But, hey, man, they flipped it around a little bit. Tyler Herro had 36 last night. So, good stuff there. Miami Open finishing it up. Now we're down to the wire here, and got some great matchups if you're going out today or Saturday or Sunday for the finals of the men or the women. And then on top of everything else, the Gators, Florida Gator, all the Gator fans down here get a nice 16-point win. They could win it all, man. If there's a team, all day, Danda, you've been watching. If there's a team that can beat Duke, it might be the Gators. You know who I'm not impressed with is Auburn. And Auburn starts slow, and they got a talented team. They got a whole bunch of talented teams in the SEC. But Bama's got Duke, and Bama plays like they did last night. It's going to be a tough out. But Duke's got an NBA-looking team, starting with the best player in college basketball.
Yeah, they're saying possibly 3 lottery picks start for Duke.
Is that right? 3?
Yeah.
I mean, what's new?
Well, didn't they go through a little bit of a drought in there in between? No,
For Duke.
Well, they don't have one right now. And let's just say when they play those McDonald's All American games, they get some Big Macs, don't they? They get the
The Duke is that program. We started learning about flag from what was it, the pros in the Olympics?
Yeah, he got picked to be on that team. Was Jaime Jaquez on? No, that was...
Jaime was
on that team.
Now, remember who was integral in recruiting Cooper Flagg to Duke?
Yeah, the new head coach for UM.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I am wondering what the agreement is if he tries to flip a couple of guys. You know, you say maybe the best high school basketball player in the country goes to Columbus High School.
Mm-hmm.
His brother ain't bad either.
I think
they're going to Duke. They've committed to Duke.
I think Cameron's number 2 in the nation, and his brother is like 16 or something like that. That's
they're good. I saw Pops on TV the other day.
The Boozer, No. But they've been playing at UM since I heard about them from. You know, they got these private games at UM. The private runs. Those kids have been playing at that run for probably a decade now.
Boy, they are.
They know that.
We campus. Don't talk much about. The high school stuff, but they're really good. And Columbus is, you talk about going around, taking that Columbus team around the country. It's not bad. And I don't even know what they do for travel basketball. He and his brother must be on some damn good teams.
Yeah.
But, Duke's, if they lose this, they get those two. Talk about a couple guys coming in, playing right away and having a chance to make a difference. Wow. That's good stuff. Good stuff. Anyway, We do have a lot of stuff going on, and Omar, we got it shaking pretty good a little bit earlier here. I just going back to one fundamental, and look, you've had a lot of different articles out, and where this team is.
A lot
is.
Of different hit pieces, as people would call them.
Hit pieces, but one thing we can agree on, and I don't want to sit here and take shots at Chris. Chris got enough heat on him right now. Chris Greer, the general manager, but he's got to have a really – Yeah. Really good draft. And I want to ask you this with it. I didn't ask you before, and I was going to. Chance they move out of 13 to if they got a chance to still stay at a pretty good pick and pick up another maybe a guy in a third round?
I think it'll be easier for them to move up than it would be for them to move down. This is such a draft where the meat of this draft is probably going to be probably picks 20 through 75, and more people want those picks than they want the early picks. I think the only way that they possibly have a chance to move down is if Shedeur Sanders slides.
So like if I was talking 16, 17, I saw somebody had something out there maybe with Arizona to switch picks. Arizona might want to move to 13. Would you?
For
would
what? You, what is Arizona
third
need?
Or fourth round pick? I don't know what the pick was.
I mean, you gotta know the landscape of the draft and what's the runs and what's Arizona's big need. I'm gonna look up what Arizona's need is to see what kind of would motivate them.
The only thing
that's gonna motivate a team to move up is I could tell you. Cornerbacks are going to be in demand. I think teams are going to be able to wait for defensive tackle. The offensive linemen, there's really three studs. The Dolphins should be trying to get one of them, not trade to open the door for another team to get one of them.
Give me the order of those guys you like. You got a kid from LSU?
Yes, I do. He's number one. And then the kid from Missouri, Membu, he's number two. And then I go with the Alabama, Tyler Booker.
He ain't taking a pure guard in the first round.
You can. I'm fine with that at 13. I've actually mocked him in my first mock draft, which came out last Sunday. I might mock
that. Chris has not had a history of taking a guard
I know that. Chris has not had a history of drafting a guard at all. He always drafts tackles and converts them to guards.
Well, a lot of teams do that.
Yes.
In fairness to
but him. The one thing I will tell you about Tyler Booker is he is exactly what you need him to be, and he moves people. Like he's got that John Jerry Stout frame where you're not collapsing the pocket.
He's pretty good on John Jerry's side to side, a little bit better on his move.
He's a little bit better. John Jerry. He's not size and power. He's John Jerry in terms of pass protection. You know how John Jerry was. He wasn't moving forward, but he wasn't moving backwards either.
No.
So he gives you that stout pass blocking, and in the run game, this is what I love about him. In the run game, Joe, he turns people. He might not drive you 10 yards down the field or might not turn the corner and then kill a linebacker 10 yards down the field, but you know what he'll do? He will turn his defensive lineman, and he'll open up a crease for you. And you got a 4-yard run.
So, do you know at this point? Because that hasn't been what our offensive line's been about.
No, I know it's not.
Pulling out, knocking guys,
I
good
get
blocking
you.
On
but
the outside.
But you know what you can't do with that? You can't convert short yardage plays.
That's been a problem.
And if you add one guy,
those numbers don't lie.
If you had, this is a 3-year problem. This is a 3-year problem that's not going anywhere, and it's gonna. It's not even the back. It is your philosophical approach to how you coach your line, and. Yes, you had a 2,400-yard rush game, 28 touchdowns in 2023. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're wrong. But to convert these short yardage plays better than you are right now, you need a guy like Tyler Booker. You need a guy who is going to move a defensive tackle out of his position and who can anchor. And I would tell you normally – yeah, Chris Greer ain't drafting a guard.
You're trying to sell me on a pure guard with a guy that has no history of taking a pure guard.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cover corner.
Because if you identify what your problems are, and that's an important thing for Dolphin fans. Okay, top five problem for this team is they can't convert short yardage plays. Am I lying to you?
That's a problem. That's why you're running those screens on the outside.
It's a huge problem. I'm telling you right now, this guy fixes it. He fixes it better than any other player in the draft because those other players, you're projecting that they can move inside to guard and do it.
Okay.
You're doing a Liam Eichenberg projection.
So I
see him do it.
If you got same grade on a guard and a cover corner, what's you're sitting here, you're Chris Greer. You got same grade on both.
It's going to be easier for me to find a cornerback if you're Chris Greer. You got the history of finding cornerbacks. You can do that. You got some misses, but you also got some big hits
on corners.
Yeah, Xavier Howard, your very first draft pick.
Okay.
Your very second
draft
pick.
Let's go since then. Igben Ogbonnie, Cam Smith.
You found Nick Needham. Yes, you failed on Igben Ogbonnie. Igben Ogbonnie's still a starter in the league.
Oh, no, come on. Not ours.
Is he a starter in the league or not?
He got crushed in his confidence. He went somewhere else. Maybe get him back.
And that's why I don't really like Liam Eichenberg coming back, because
I think he just needs a fresh start.
I would have begged Liam to leave.
I said, why are you coming back here? Why are you putting like this fan base and people and writers and people watching you think you're one of the problems?
I'm not even going to pretend. The minute they give me the access to Liam Eichenberg, my first question is going to be, why are you still here? Like, what made you?
I know what he's going to say. He loves Butch Berry and
I got unfinished business and then, oh yeah, whatever. Liam, this is a lot of mental damage that you've done to yourself.
Sure, he must feel it.
You will be criticized no matter what you do because you're still.
I can't worry about that. You know, I look out for my family. I don't read that stuff. I don't hear it.
No, you do. All right. You do. You hear. Well,